Can I just be cut back a little bit there, please? How many of you played an instrument at some point in your career? Well, what are y'all doing? Why haven't we started an orchestra? Boy, I got to tell you, Tonga, where are you? You know, as the associate pastor, you need to think about expanding music ministry in our church, but not to put any pressure on you this morning, okay? Yes?
Can I play the spoons?
You can play the spoons. Yes. And I'm glad we started that family argument this morning. Good. Okay. So we want to, first of all, welcome some folks here today. So, Joan, why don't you introduce the lovely young ladies that are seated on. Now, Suzanne, we've met you before, so we'll say hello to you again, but why don't you introduce Mary to us? Do you know anything else about her? Okay, tell us later. Okay. We'll meet out on patio and you can fill us in. How long have you girls all known? I assume you girls have known each other for quite a while. 5 or 6 years. 7. Do we hear 8? 8, 8 going 8, 1, 9, 9 going 1, 1, try. Anyway, we're glad to have you. Heather, I'm going to put you on a spot. Why don't you introduce yourself and your parents to us? Nice to have you here today. Now, is there anybody I've missed? We met you, Deborah, last week, so nice to see you again. And Elaine, nice to have you with us. And, of course, despite the fact it's raining, we like to congregate out on the patio. So don't rush home when we're done. Take a chance to get to know each other. Okay, Phil, let's go over the announcements for this week. Could we please? Just a reminder for Monday afternoon at 2, we meet here for prayer, and Dan and Joyce and others are coordinating that. By the way, if you had a chance to be out at the Unity service last Sunday night at New Life, it was powerful, and it's online. You can see it if you'd like to see. That's the first Unity service we've been able to have as churches in over 2 years, so that was really exciting. So Wednesday, ladies, don't forget you're here at 10 o'clock. Sue and Sheila, how much longer are you going? Do you have a date set for December yet, or will you announce it? Till December 8th is your last session together. Okay. And then don't forget Thursday night we get together, and boy, do we talk. We're working through Proverbs right now, and we're having a great time of fellowship. So we invite you to join us at 7 for an hour. And then on Saturday night here for church, prayer for church, the church here, and we'd like to invite you, and Jim and Grace are our hosts for that night, so to each of you. Operation Christmas Child. Now, today, Carl, do you want to come up and say something about that? This is
final day, folks.
Today, need to bring your boxes in, and if you haven't got your boxes organized, get them back to the church. When do they go? Monday, is it?
I'm taking them over Monday.
Tomorrow, they're going over to our central depot here in Wasega Beach, and so this is the day. So I trust you've all been doing that, and it's going to be exciting to hear what happens with that. Anything else, Phil, we need to update on, please? Birthdays? Victoria turns 3, so you might want to give her a little call and wish Victoria a happy birthday. And Catherine is turning a little bit older than 3, and I'm sure she would love to hear from you, too. Christina and Tonga, happy anniversary. What year is this for both of you? It's okay, we can wait. You're off the hook on that one. You know, as long as you're together and as long as you're having an anniversary, you know, that's the main thing. Because you're such a great testimony as a couple. And even if there is a bit of confusion in your lives, that's okay. Happy anniversary. Okay, let's open with prayer, shall we? Father, as we gather here today, you have much to share with us, much to teach us. But most of all, you just want us to enjoy you, and you want to enjoy us. And so as we have an opportunity to praise you, to sing, to pray, to hear your word expounded, to just have an opportunity for our faith to be lifted, that you would be at the center of every aspect of this service. And so bless the team as they come and lead us now and all that transpires in these next few minutes. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Irmgard. Oh, man, I'm ready to go. Good thing I'm not preaching yet. I get too fired up. We have a special moment now. We have two young ladies that are going to be joining our church in membership today. And I'm going to ask if Shauna and Ann would come up. And, of course, Jane will be signing for Shauna. We will now take a commercial break and be right back with you. We're having so much fun here today. So what we're going to do is, with myself and the ladies, we're going to read the membership statement for membership in the Wasega Community Church. And so we're going to read it in unison together. Those of you that have been a part of our family for a long time, just be blessed as we read it. And if you haven't been in our church for a long time, here are the things we are promising before the Lord as part of this family in Wasega Beach. So we're going to start by giving our names. So I, John Hamilton, declare before God and this congregation as witnesses, you can say it out loud with me, that as... declare before God and this congregation, so you're going to read this with me, as witnesses, that as a disciple of Jesus Christ, I am in complete agreement with the articles of faith and the current bylaws of the Wasega Community Church. I am willing to generously support this church and its ministries through prayer, giving of time and talents where needed, and donations of tithes and offerings. I will make every effort to support worship services and midweek activities organized for my benefit. I am willing to respect those in Christian leadership and will work in the church under the guidance seeking to maintain unity among the members. So could we pray for these ladies today? Father, I just thank you for their in willingness for commitment to serve so faithfully in this church in the days to come. I pray your blessing upon them. We thank you for their love for you, and their love extends to all of this family. And so as we welcome them in as members of this church, that indeed they will be very blessed in the days to come. And all of us stand with them to do what we can to support them as they seek to grow in their faith and serve you. In Christ's name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Bless the Lord. So we will meet outside after for conversation and support. Okay? All right. Well done. So let's take some notes of praise and prayer requests this morning. What has the Lord been doing for you? Let's update for all of us to be encouraged. Who has a note of praise? The young lady in the back. May? Yes. Praise the Lord. Wow. Is that right?
Before it get hard to see the big E.
Is that the one that said made in China?
Yep.
Okay. But that's fantastic. When's the last time you've read anywhere near the last line?
So that was months ago.
Okay.
Years ago, actually.
For anybody who doesn't know, when you have macular degeneration, if it's dry, it's not too bad.
Right.
You can keep it going with drops, but when it gets wet, that's when you need the needles. And he's been having needles for almost a year now. Oh, a year. And so the fact that they're dry is thanks to God.
Yes. That is a reverse. But you can obviously see better. You can tell you're seeing better.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Fantastic. That's marvelous. Thank you. All right. Other notes for praise. Yes, Irmgard.
Do you know, Susan, you just permission to go on
So you're off for 2 weeks to Germany. I think it'll be exciting for the four of you to have some. Five of you. Oh, that's right. There are five in your family. Jeez, I wasn't sure whether it was 13 or 14. You're right. You're right. All five of you. Oh, I think that's fantastic. And you're leaving when?
Saturday.
All right. We will pray you on your way. All right, other notes of praise? Prayer requests. Notes for prayer. Okay, Susan, we'll start with you, and then Ken, you go after her. Yes. Okay, we're going to pray that disc in place. Yeah, absolutely. Ken? Just put your mask down, Ken, so we can hear you. Thanks. Yes. And where does Stephen live? Where's the celebration going to be? In Elmville, okay. And that's on Saturday as well. So we'll be praying for your whole family, Ken. Absolutely, yeah. Thank you. Other things for prayer? Yes, Sheila. Yes. Great tribute. He was quite a man. And he was a very good hockey player. I sure enjoyed playing with him. It was not my fault if he called me Reverend Slash. It's not my fault at all. But he was an amazing man. He will be missed. Anything else, Sue?
Physical strength for myself,
please. Yes. Anybody would like strength and energy? Anybody else needs that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Okay, let me put it to you this way. Is there anybody who does not want strength and energy this week? Anybody? Okay. And joking aside, Sue, that's serious. And I mean it seriously for all of us. Yes. Yes. We will pray for her. Anything else? Yes. Anne?
I'm knowing somebody who is almost near the end of her living situation.
She needs a place. Okay. Okay. Wow. Whoa, a lot going on there. Yeah, what's her first name?
Laura.
Okay, we will pray. And tell her. Sorry, I don't interrupt my wife here. Tell her that there is a church family praying for her. Will you do that, please? Yes, okay. Anything else? Norm?
There's a bad crash this morning between Sunnydale and Superstore. They had the whole road blocked off. You wanted to see it was pretty bad.
Okay, we will pray. Yeah. Mary Lou? And that's a perfectly valid prayer. Yeah, you want them to come out healthy and crying. At least healthy. Okay, anything else? Kathy?
I just want to say thanks.
Pull your mask down, sweetie. You were able to get here?
Yeah.
Yes. And we take for granted, Kathy, don't we? Just get in our car, we're going to go. Let's go. Where we're going, we're going to go. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Norm?
My sister, they took her off any care, and now she's in palliative. She hasn't slept in about 4 days.
Okay. We'll pray great comfort for her. May, what's your sister's first name again?
Jean,
yes. Okay, thank you. Unspoken? All right, let's go to prayer. Father, we're here today, first of all, because we need to be here. There isn't any better place that we could be at this hour than with other believers in your presence. And Father, we are so grateful that you have been waiting for us. We are grateful for all the ways you've led us through this week, all the issues of life that we have wrestled with mentally, physically, spiritually, and emotionally. And Father, we just come into your presence now. We just lay our burdens at your feet. Your Son says, come to me, you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. And so we just lay our burdens at your feet this day. You know everything about what we're going through. You know every issue about our own bodies. And we rejoice with Norm over what you've done, even in his eyes this morning. We know that you're going to help Susan as she continues to progress. And we pray, Lord, that this disc that's been herniated would slip back into place, and that she would even this week have confirmation from physiotherapists and others that will say, my, something has happened to you, and that will be a confirmation. Lord, we also would pray for our families, the great struggles that they're dealing with, and for some it is, as Sheila has mentioned, it's been a death situation. As Ken has mentioned, these are celebrations of life because in a sense we have had to let folks go off this earth. And so it is with joy we celebrate their life, but also with great sense of sadness and grief. And sometimes, Lord, we are so overwhelmed, we don't know how to think or speak. Father, for their families and all that they're going through, would they sense your peace? For those that are in desperate straits, even in terms of very practical things, for housing and for other things, for jobs, for issues in the workplace or in the classroom, Lord, you're working in every aspect of our life. Father, we recognize too that for some of us, life is slogging at this time. Many have raised hands today for health and strength. Father, remind us in all of this that you dwell in us, that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Remind us that you go before us. Remind us you're our rear guard, that you walk beside us. Remind us that you've not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And remind us, most of all, that you just love us. And Father, for some of us, we have felt these days, and maybe as we head into this new week, that you're carrying us. That's okay. That doesn't mean we're weak. It just means we recognize you're strong. And so in that strength and realization of just who you are as our Heavenly Father, again, Through Jesus, we would ask for our sins to be forgiven. We have done and said and thought things that have not honored you, and they have been hurtful to other people. And so, Father, again, we ask for your forgiveness through the great saving power of your Son. Holy Spirit, as we head into this new week, would you give us great comfort? Would you give us great counsel? Would you give us everything we need so that we can live effectively for you in these upcoming days? Because, Lord, we recognize when we leave this place, we are going out as ambassadors of yours into a world that is desperate for life and they don't even know what they want. And so, Father, again, we wait with joy to see what you're going to do, whether it's the birth of a grandchild or a graduation or a 13th or anniversary or 14th anniversary. We're not sure, but you know, in a trip on a plane to Germany or one down to Dominican Republic, you know everything that's going on. And so, Father, give us a sense of laughter as we head into this week too. And most of all, may we stay close to you in our relationship. And we thank you now for hearing our prayer. In Christ's name we pray. And all God's people again said, amen. Amen. Team, would you come, please? Going as gifts given to children and boys and girls who have never probably ever had any kind of gift of any kind. And along with that is a Christian book about how to find Jesus. And there'll be millions of these heading out around the world. So can we just take a minute? Carl, why don't you come up as our coordinator? Why don't you pray for these boxes? And as a symbol, we take this box.
Father, we love you. We thank you for Jesus. And Father, as this Samaritan's Purse send these 12 million boxes around the world, may the children who receive them find your grace, find your mercy, find the Lord Jesus. Father, we lift them up to you now. May the work begin already in the hearts of those who will receive.
Yeah.
And this we thank you in the precious name of Jesus.
Bless the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Bless the Lord. Amen. Thanks, Lord. Thanks. I got a question for you. What are you doing here today anyway? Why are you here? Why am I here? Some of you are going, what day is it anyway? Where am I? Sunday, good. Well, we figured out that much. It's Sunday. Anybody else want to make a comment? I woke up and found myself in church. Or I woke up and found I was preaching, and then I realized I was the preacher. I mean, why are we here? You know, sometimes in this COVID scenario, we need to do more critical evaluation of why we think what we think, why we do what we do, and go where we go, and respond in ways we won't. Because what is in this world more than anything in this last year is fear. And as it accelerated from 2019 into 2020 and 2021, and I don't know about you, but everybody has an opinion, and everybody's opinion is different, and nobody really knows why they're thinking it, because nobody's really figured it out, but because somebody said it, they believe it, and they're going to tell you, and if you don't like it, they're going to unfriend you off of Facebook.
Thank you, Bob.
The reality is, Satan's having a field day. Dirty Face is enjoying the confusion. He's enjoying the confusion worldwide at the secular level, and he's enjoying the confusion that's being generated at the Christian church level, the body of Christ level. And so I think it's good today that we take a reminder of why we're here. This week we had a reminder of why we have freedom in this country to even worship. I didn't bring it today, but Jane handed me some interesting scenarios. From World War I, the Historical Society printed on November the 11th that if you took all those who died in France and Germany and Britain alone, marched them four abreast, it would be a train of 387 miles of dead soldiers walking four abreast. Those that have given their lives in this war and the Second War and other wars. But bigger than that, what about Christians that have had to stand against the wiles of the devil? And you know, he's a roaring lion, isn't he? He wants to what? Scare us some more, confuse us some more. And the biggest thing I'm finding is isolate all of us. And so why are we here? Well, I want to propose a few ideas to you. And if you think I'm I'm wrong. You can say, well, Pastor John, you're full of tomatoes. And you know, the next week you can preach. Would that be fair? But I want you to work with me on this. Why are we here today? Are we here just to sing songs about Jesus? Because if that's why we're here, well then, let's just go back home, crank up the tunes, and sing as loud as we want. If we're in this place for fellowship and hospitality, and remember, for the past 21 of the last 23 years, after every service, we've put out tables in this room so people can have fellowship and hospitality. We've provided sandwiches and cookies and all kinds of things, and we have had fellowship together for years up till 2020 of March. And for many in this church, that was the one time in the entire week they actually had a meal with somebody else other than themselves. Are we here for the hospitality? Are we here in this place to pray? Well, again, why not just pray in your own home? If we're here in this place to hear the word of God, well then, you know what? Why don't you just stay at home and turn on the TV and hear a plethora of preachers who you don't know but have all kinds of great ideas? Enjoy them. And for many of the weeks that the church has been closed, that's exactly what we've had to do in our individual homes. We've had to watch Zoom presentations, and I've been excited to watch Portugal, Sri Lanka, all different kinds of places, and there was that. But hey, if we're not to be here, you can still do that. We're in this place because Jesus has not called us to isolation. Jesus has called us to be a family. He's called us to be followers together as a group. And the minimum group he ever sent out was what? 2 by 2. He's even said, wherever 2 or 3 are gathered, I'm in your midst. He sent a group of 70 out when he had just been a few months in ministry. And they went roaming all over. Don't take a bag with you. Don't take a purse with you. Don't take any of your money. Just, you know, and get out there and just meet people and tell them the kingdom of God is at hand. And the amazing thing is that in this idea of being a family, Jesus has called us more than being just a family of, you know, 2 or 3 or 4. He's called us to be part of a great army. He's called us to be part of a royal priesthood. He's called us to be a holy body of believers who are what? Growing in their faith and want to share with each other and then go out into the harvest field. So the first thing I want you to see here, and Phil, I wonder if you could throw this up. The second point is, and you notice how I've written it? What's the very first word I put on the board? We are what? To what? What's the next word? To publicly what? That we are part of God's divine plan. Do you realize every time you get out of bed on a Sunday morning, you are actually taking a step of faith from the moment you put on your slippers and you go to the bathroom and you put your teeth back in and you and you try to comb your hair, or in my case, you buff. But in all of this, we are ready to come and publicly acknowledge that we are part of a plan that God's been doing for how long? 2,000 years. Fantastic. And here's some more about the reality. And we take our example right back to Acts as the first church met together. And I want to review a couple of verses for you from Acts chapter 2. Let's start with verses 46 to 47. Here is the reality of what we're a part of. And day by day, how often? Every day. And so if I see you tomorrow, is that okay? Well, maybe you're sick and tired of me and prefer only see me once a week. But the reality is day after day. And they also had a plan. Did they wash their clothes and make their meals? Yes. But day after day, they actually decided that they would attend the temple together. And then they would have meals in their homes. And as they received their food with glad and generous hearts, they did what? They praised God, from whom all blessings flow. When's the last time you have actually really prayed and said, Jesus, I just thank you for this food. I am so glad that I've got a body to digest it. I'm so glad that I live in a country where I can eat food on a regular basis. And sometimes I look at some of the fast food we take and go, and I have to pray, and Lord, if there is any nutritional value in this, please may it be beneficial. But when it's all said and done, what did the church ask as they started in the very beginning? To praise God from whom all blessings flow. As they eat, as they fellowship, as they what? As they have favor with all the people. How many people? Do you know when we live for Christ, we are the smell of death to what? The non-believer. We're the smell of life to the believer. But what's interesting, the Bible says, even he will make your enemies to be at peace with you. Because ultimately, every single person all around us is looking for whom? Jesus. They need help with their pain. They need help with just their fears. They need help just trying to process life. And Jesus is the one person who says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Do you think the world understands that? Not at all. But if the world sees where we are confident and who lives in us, do you not think they're going to want it? Yes. And we will have favor with them because for one thing, and I know this is hard most of the time, to smile. So I would suggest practice doing your smiling so that when you can take your mask off, it'll be genuine. Or practice smiling in such a way that it'll lift your cheeks and people will know they're actually, you can tell if people are laughing, can't you? You can tell if people are actually smiling. And the grumpy ones always have a look in their eye, which is mean, don't mess with me and don't talk to me. But the reality is, the early church found favor with God and with all the people as they did what? Did their best to live their lives. Were their lives easy? No. Did young children still die and stillborns still occur? Was there death and injury? Was there people falling off the roofs of their home? Was there all the things that happened in this life? Yeah, it was all no different. But in the midst of it all, they were praising the Lord. And sometimes that's hard to do. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. The Lord is adding to the number. I'm hearing from some of these countries like Myanmar, Burma. Remember Burma? The amount of people that are coming to Christ, and there's never been so much persecution as there is today. And when Mr. Judson and his wife went to Burma back in the 1800s, the amount of people that came to Christ, and it's interesting how Satan wants to target countries like that because so many people are coming to the Lord. Same as China. They're predicting by 2035, China's going to be a Christian nation. Do you think the Communist Party is worried? You bet your bottom dollar they are. But hey, if Christianity is just a fad and of no value, well then why doesn't the Communist Party or any other party just keep living and going on? Why do Hindu nationals have to plow into individual Christians in some of these countries, except that do you think maybe they see there's truth in Christianity and Jesus Christ is real? Family, we've got to live out the reality of our faith. In Acts chapter 2 and 42, the early church also did this. They just devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. Family, I count it a phenomenal privilege to be able to stand here at this pulpit and be able to proclaim to you thoughts that I believe the Lord has given me to help share with you and to lift your faith every single Sunday. And I'm trusting that as you take that and apply it, God's going to work in your life. Prayers. Family, can we ever pray too much? I don't think so. Do we pray too slowly? I think often we do. But the essence of prayer is saying, Jesus, I'm having a little talk with you, and I'm absolutely convinced that you hear me, and there's everything that when I speak to you, there's nothing you're going to say, oh, John, what a silly idea that is. What are you bringing that to me? Don't you know I run the universe? God never talks like that. But I think there are times he says, son, why don't you have a little talk? You and I have a little talk. I need to talk to him more. In 44 and 45 of Acts 2, and they all believed, all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Anybody want to join Irmgarten, Kurt and the family going to Germany because they're going to be sharing the proceeds? Anybody want to join? But the reality is, in all of that, if we see a need, what's God calling us to do? Help. We've been shoeboxes, symbols of a help that we're bringing in the hopes that Christ can use that as a stepping point for these young lives in countries where we'll never meet the children till eternity. Again, selling what we... So, if I do a little summation of the early church, they met, they worshiped, they prayed, they sang, they received godly instruction from Scripture, they enjoyed each other in God-honoring ways, they ate food, they laughed, they shared their testimonies, they had prayer requests, they were encouraged, they shared day-to-day stories of God's faithfulness, and is that not the same for you and I today? We've been waiting 2 years to be able to meet consistently like a family as we are today. You know what, gang? We're back. We are back. And God's got plans for us. So I thought maybe today I would give you a few suggestions of how to renew your mandate of being part of the family of God. Let's start with Ephesians 4, and I'm quickly going to go through this, but I want you to see a certain pronoun. Paul says, the purpose of the church is to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up the body of Christ, until we, notice it doesn't say until I, or until you, until we have attained what? A unity of faith and the knowledge of Jesus, the Son of God, to mature manhood, which means we're allowing the things of our life to help us to grow more spiritually mature. Now, does that mean we understand everything that's going on? No. Does that mean when times we go to the Lord, oh, Lord, give me a break. I don't know if I'm coming or going. No. We believe that all things work together for good to those who are calling according to his purposes. And that's Romans 8:28. All things work together. And who does the working in it? Those who believe. All things work together for those who love the Lord. Is that not all of us? Absolutely. That we may no longer, in the fullness of Christ, be no longer children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. I have mentioned to you this thing about pet rocks before. I've been amazed in years past how many Christians would come up to me and ask me if I got a pet rock yet. Seriously. Why? Because of the fad. Because of the cunning of men. Why do you think we have cults in the world today? Because the plans of men have duped the reality of Jesus Christ in people's lives. And so what does Paul say? We're growing in the fullness of Jesus Christ. And also that we speak the truth in love because we are to what? Grow up into him who is the head of the church. So is it okay if I say to you, grow up? Now, I think it's a lot of how we say it, isn't it? Because there's a lot of times I want to say, grow up. But that's not what Paul's saying. He said, grow up into the head, which is Jesus Christ. And you know what's interesting? If we're trying to grow up in the head of Christ, where is our eyes looking? Looking away to Jesus, who's the author and finisher of faith, because he's helping us to what? Be spiritually maturer than we were a week ago. And then also we need to remind ourselves that we're meeting together to publicly proclaim this reality. Truth is truth. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine this week. He's a retired pastor. And he says he's been pondering a scripture out of Judges. And I said, oh, tell me about it. And he said, you know, I'm really pondering the scripture. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. Is that not what the world's doing today? I got my opinion, you got... And of course, we're not supposed to call sin sin, or we're not supposed to call judgment in any way. You know, we're just supposed to tolerate everybody. So it's okay if that's your idea. Well, let me propose to you, this is what the church is asked to publicly proclaim. Ephesians 4, there is one body, one spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is what? Over all and through all and in all. Do you know what I find when I'm proclaiming the truth? Great security. Because you know what? It's not John Hamilton's opinion. Now, by the way, how many times do people give you their opinions without being asked for it? Some of the greatest confusion in our lives because we got 17 different people giving us 17 different ways that if I were you, I would... How many times is the truth kind of muddy or not even visible? Because now it's based on emotion or desire or anything that is not based on one body and one hope in Jesus Christ. Challenge yourself, even when you're going to make a suggestion or when you're going to receive a suggestion, is to come back to the reality of the truth of what we believe as Christians. And then we also meet because we need to grow spiritually. Ephesians, Paul says that Christ may dwell in whose hearts? All of our hearts, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have the strength to comprehend with how many? All the saints. You know, before the service started, there were several people in the back row who will remain anonymous. And they said, well, we're the dunce corner. And I said to them, Monica, I'm saying it again to you publicly. Some of the smartest people are in the back row so they can observe and with wise words pray for the whole rest of everybody else. The reality is what? We are all growing in our faith that we might have the strength to comprehend what the breadth and length and height and depth of what? This love we have in Christ Jesus. And to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God, which is total truth. And finally, we meet to pursue our ongoing spiritual action. Paul says to the Hebrews, let us... You see the word again? Us. Draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Now here's the key. You ready? Verse 24 says, and let the pastor and spiritual leaders of the church consider, let the elders consider, let the women's group consider, let the club DJ kids, teenagers, and the kids' church consider. No, how many of us are needing to consider this? All of us. And what are we to consider? How to stir up one another to gossip and backslide and stab and manipulate and... Oh, sorry, am I reading the wrong version there? I was reading the wrong version. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see what? The day of the Lord's return drawing near. So guess what? Why are we here today? Because we're a family. Why are we here today? Because we are part of God's family, and we're here today because what? We're the church. So after we have sung and prayed and confessed and shared and listened and been still and been renewed in our body and mind, being inspired and equipped, we're going to leave this place to go into God's part of the vineyard where he's called you and where I've been called, and we're going to do what? We're going to live for him. And anything less is a waste of time. You want to go to Harvey's this week? Live for him at Harvey's. I understand Christina and Tonga are going to go to the Mandarin. Oh, I had a choke on that one for just a minute. They're going to have an amazing opportunity in the midst of the celebration of God's faithfulness in their life to bless every single server who interacts with them at that restaurant. And I have to wonder how many times the people that have served us ever get thanked. We have an amazing opportunity as we head out into this week to be ambassadors of the Most High God. And I want to encourage you, do your level best and let God be glorified. And you know what? We're going to see day by day numbers are being added to the body of Christ. Are you with me? You pray for me, I'll pray for you. Father, as we just again are reminded of why we're here, for all of these reasons, that we might be reminded of who we are and who we belong to, as we're propelled to proclaim the truth and grow spiritually, as we are called to spiritual action in these upcoming days. Lord, we are thankful that we can publicly meet and we can share together. We can rejoice in the good news with others. We can pray for them in their hour of need. But most of all, we've been equipped again and reminded that we serve an amazing God. And so, Lord, take us on our way in all that we do today, in all that we do this week. May you be honored and glorified in what we say, in what we do, in how we think, and certainly how we pray. And Father, thank you. We all agree. We're so glad to be part of the family of God. In your powerful name we pray. Amen. Tonga, please come.
And light up our hearts, often too dark as it can be. Would you come and cleanse us with the blood of Christ this morning?
And now, unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his throne with exceeding great joy, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever.